Hello, folks. This is H-Town Wheelhouse with Locked On Astros, and we bring you another excellent interview with a seventh round pick from the 2021 draft, Joey Luperfido. He is from Duke University and swinging a hot bat. I want you to sit down and listen and find out his trek to the minor leagues and his future in the Astros organization. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we are your daily Astros podcast. I'm H-Town Wheelhouse. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at H-Town Wheelhouse. You can also find me at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, or Spotify. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we have Joey Luperfido, seventh round draft pick from the 2021 draft for the Houston Astros, playing with Fayetteville right now. Joey, tell the fans where they can find you social media wise.
On Instagram at Joey underscore Luperfido.
And on Twitter as well, correct?
Yeah, at just Joey Luperfido.
All right, good deal. Joey, thank you for joining us. I know Mondays are an off day, so I appreciate you taking the time. And this may not air on a Tuesday or Wednesday consecutively, but when the people get to see this, they'll get to see a rested, refreshed, and ready to get out there and hit the baseball again, because it looks like you're swinging a hot bat. Joey, I was looking, I want to get right into it, because I was looking into this. You know, Duke University. Duke is known for, obviously, it's basketball. Coach K, the tradition there, but there are no slouches on the baseball diamond. And you yourself had a very fine career. And it looks like in 2021, you were elected team captain. Okay. You served on the team's leadership council for four consecutive seasons. You started 53 games in center field. You were all ACC outfielder. You were ACC championship tournament MVP. You led the program in batting, 374, on base percentage, 473, hits 77, doubles 19, runs scored 56, and hit by pitch. You're like a modern day Craig Biggio. Tell me about your time at Duke and how valuable that was to you to get to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I look back on my career at Duke, and it's hard to think, you know, I could have been so fortunate. You know, coming out of high school, kind of early on in the recruiting process, Duke reached out to me, and I visited the campus with my family and just loved it from the minute I got there. You know, Coach Pollard and what he's done with that program in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years is really unbelievable. I mean, he's kind of done it everywhere he's gone, but to, you know, be sitting in a meeting room on campus with him when I was a sophomore in high school and hear kind of the vision he had for the program. And then to be able to get to campus my freshman year and be a part of that coming true was really cool. And, you know, to win that ACC championship my senior year was a great way to go out. So it's awesome. You know, I have a ton of gratitude for not only Coach Pollard and the rest of the staff, but all the guys I got to play with and the memories I had at Duke. I loved it. And I'd do it all over again if I could.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's great that you were pretty much clear. You had a clear-cut decision. I know a lot of kids coming out of school, if they are an All-American, I know you played with Perfect Game and you had some accolades there. You were kind of recognized on the national stage. I almost sound like Charles Barkley. You were recognized. I don't know where I came from that. But
no
worries. You were You seem to be a player that people, that several coaches probably had their eyes on. And Duke, like I said, is known for its basketball. When you got there and you heard the program and you saw what was there and the other sports, what was it like being a part of the baseball team? Are you guys on campus? Are you guys as nearly as popular as the basketball guys, or do they reign as king? And you look to them, you know what I'm saying? What was that like being on campus?
No, we're not anywhere close to as popular as the basketball team. But Duke's an interesting school because, you know, with how great the academics are, they pull students from everywhere across the country. They pull students from pretty much all over the world. So there's a ton of diversity on campus, and it's not typically, you know, with so many schools, I guess, across the country, you know, dominating in sports. I feel like Duke's a unique place because they dominate, you know, in the classroom. It's a pretty elite institution. And then they have a couple programs on campus that really are at the top of the NCAA and will win and compete for championships every year. So not to sound like a total Duke person, which I guess I am, and all the Duke haters will probably hate this, but when you're there on campus, like whether it's the chemistry teachers or the people blowing leaves on campus, everything's done to a pretty elite level. And so it's cool to kind of be a part of that as a student athlete. And, you know, you're pushed in the classroom and you're pushed on the athletic field. And that's pretty much in every single program. So it was really a great, you know, healthy, competitive environment to be in. But no, I mean, when Zion's walking around campus, he definitely draws more looks than myself or
our third baseman.
Yeah, no. That's not the case.
Joey and Zion, they're not going to Joey. They're going to Zion. Hey, did you ever get to play? Now, I don't know how much access or how much those guys are allowed to play outside of practice and stuff. Did you ever get to play basketball with any of them? Is that a lame Duke question?
So I do know a couple guys on our team have hooped with the women's players.
Okay.
So the way Cameron's set up is it's our baseball locker room is attached to Cameron Indoor. And so is the academic center. So for athletes, a lot of people study there, have like their academic meetings, and there's an elevator. You kind of walk through the Athletic Hall of Fame, which is cool. And then you can either take the elevator up to the academic center, and there's like a, so you have to have like a card or something to go down to like the basketball area. So they're pretty secluded, but they got a pretty cool setup down there. But no, I never got to go one-on-one with Zion or any of those guys.
I don't know if anyone would want to go one-on-one with someone like Zion or Jabari. Yeah. I mean, you know, all these guys, and I mean, they've got some guys coming out this year. You know, the Rockets have the number 3 pick. But you know, we won't spend too much time on Duke basketball, because this is about Joey. This is about baseball. But you're from the New Jersey, the Tri-City area. I was looking at your pre-college days. Who did you look up to growing up baseball wise? Who was your go-to guy that you knew when they were playing, you were like, I got to get to a TV. I've got to watch this guy play.
So I live in South Jersey, probably 10 minutes outside of Philadelphia. And so for me, it was Chase Utley. Wow. I played shortstop growing up as a little kid and through high school. And I think I was talking about it this week with my manager here in Fayetteville. Just I think that 08 team that the Phillies had, I was in fourth or fifth grade. But I think that's a big reason why I kind of fell in love with baseball. I remember coming home from school. And they were in that playoff race against, I think they played the Dodgers and then the Brewers or Brewers Dodgers, one of the two. But me and all my friends would get together and watch it. And if you look at that lineup, I mean, anywhere from Chase, Sutley, I mean, Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, Shane Victorino, Carlos Ruiz, and then the pitching staff. I mean, it was just a really likable group of players, especially if you're from the Philadelphia area and you're a Phillies fan. And a really talented group. And so that was a really fun team to cheer for and watch win a World Series. But yeah, I always idolized Chase Utley. He just played the game so hard. And I mean, I hadn't even really played too much baseball, but as a fifth grader, I could sit there and watch and be like, wow, like that guy commands the respect of his teammates by how hard he plays. So I really looked up to him.
And I think you can see that in all levels with the Houston Astros, to be honest with you. Not that everybody's at Chase Utley level, but the guys from the pros, like the recent sensation of Jeremy Peña, who literally is leading all shortstops in Major League Baseball in WAR right now. Like every one of them, it's unreal what he's doing, down to AAA, AA, down to where you guys are. Now, you're listed as an infielder, outfielder from Duke. Right now, what is your primary position in Fayetteville?
So I'm playing pretty much everywhere right now. When we played about a month or so last summer after the draft here, it was only outfield. And I got a call 2 weeks before spring training or so. And they said, hey, Joe, like, we're really excited about the offseason you've had. We think it'd be, you know, advantageous for you and for us if you, you know, you played a little infield this year. So I was all for it and got down to West Palm Beach at spring training and started working on it with the infield coaches and stuff. So, yeah, I've been playing all outfield spots and then second and first so far here at Fayetteville. And I'll play pretty much a different spot every night.
Well, good deal. It sounds like the Astros are willing to take a bet on you. And after I talk about Bet Online, I want to ask you about your interactions with the major league players and Dusty Baker. But I want to tell everybody that our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. I mean, the Texans aren't going to be the NFL whipping boy that they have been. They're going to be more competitive, folks. So go find out what their odds are, maybe to capture the South again. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, Joey, you and I before the show, before we started recording, we're talking about your invite to big league spring training, to spring training, to West Palm. I mean, you get to step on the same field as Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, Jeremy Pena, Yuli Gurriel. I mean, do I need to keep going? You know, Yordan Alvarez, this litany of professional players, Justin Verlander's back. What was that experience like? And maybe tell us about some interactions you had with Dusty Baker.
Yeah, so I was actually in minor league camp.
Okay, minor league camp. Okay.
I was in minor league camp, and I got to play in a couple of the major league games. But this was my first spring training, and, you know, it was my first time really having a true offseason. So, you know, you're working out, you're, you know, in the cage almost every day, kind of getting ready. But, you know, I didn't really know exactly how I wanted to go about it. I think, you know, my second professional offseason will look a little bit differently than my first. But, you know, just being in the presence of not only the big league guys, but also the rest of the minor leaguers in the system, was an opportunity to meet a lot of people for the first time. And to really just kind of, you know, dive right into what your first full professional season is like, including spring training. And I got to play in two of the big league games, which was really cool. And so those days you're kind of on a different schedule, show up a little bit later, get to go through your routines and stuff. And then, you know, we don't really get dressed or anything in the big league clubhouse, but you're wearing a different jersey and a different pair of pants. And warm up and stuff, kind of, you know, I kept to myself a little bit. I mean, I wasn't in the big league dugout going to walk up to some of the, you know, more established guys that had no idea who I was. But it was cool to kind of get to meet people. Chaz McCormick, he's awesome. Kind of from the Philly area, had a couple of mutual friends. But it was really cool. I mean, just to kind of, you know, sit there in the dugout, you're, you know, half of you is, you know, trying not to like smirk as you walk by Yordan Alvarez, and the other half of you is like, well, I got to be ready to go in the sixth inning. But it was really cool. Dusty actually, before the game, he had asked me, you know, he said, hey, I know you're playing all these spots. What's your favorite? Like, where do you want to play? And wow. I said, I think I'm a center fielder. He just kind of nodded. He was like, all right, young buck. And then I got to go and write that game. And made a play kind of laid out in right center. And I came jogging back into the dugout. And he used a couple choice words, but he met me at the bottom of the steps and, you know, gave me a big high five and said, you know, you are a blank center fielder. So that was pretty cool. And that's he had awesome. Asked me about my name a couple times, Lo Profito, and I guess he knew it was Italian. And I think after that game, I played in the big league game, I got to my locker the next day and there are these hats in my locker. And I was like, this is kind of funny. It was like a tomato sauce company or something. And it had these big tomatoes on the side and like some Italian words on the front. When I went to the club, I was like, hey, Ben, like, thanks for these hats. Like, I don't know. And he was like, oh, no, don't thank me. Thank Carl, who's the name of the big league club. So I walked over to his office. I was like, hey, Carl, like, Ben told me you put these hats in my locker. I wanted to say thanks. And he goes, oh, no, don't thank me. Thank Dusty. And I was like, all right. Like, what? And he was like, yeah, like, he, you know, thought your name was kind of funny, and he wanted you to have them. So nice. I made sure before I left spring training to go over to his office and say thank you. We got to talk for a little bit. So it was really cool.
No, that's awesome. That's something I've heard about Dusty Baker. He is a player's manager. He is a player's coach. And we've had several conversations. We have a good friend of ours, Clay Hensley, who actually, he played for him. He did win one of the World Series with the Giants. I think it was a year that Dusty wasn't there. I can't remember who the manager was. I think it was Bochy. I can't remember who was the manager at the time. But he's always spoken highly of Dusty. He said how Dusty can really command his presence in the locker room and in the dugout, but not in an authoritative type way. He does it in a way that he draws you in. Like he finds what you're interested in. And I mean, Clay even talked about the different types of fishing they would talk about doing, or they would go do. I think he went fishing with them once or twice. Just seems to be kind of a jack of all trades. He's got a lot of interest. You know, his family's got a vineyard out in California. And so just kind of a laid back thing. One of the things we cracked up about at the beginning of the season was literally his first quote in his first interview when he was at spring training, was he says, this is great. I think this is the first time I've worn pants since November. And so I'm just like, that's Dusty. Like that is something Dusty Baker would say. But your first name is actually Mario. And we talked about this. Mario, the Italian thing, you know, growing up. Was there ever like a play on words that everybody would talk, you know, like tease you? Did you go by Joey? Was Mario an Italian? Was that ever a thing that kids ever kind of messed with you and, you know, you and your friends kind of had fun with?
A little bit. Yeah. And so my dad's family is actually Italian. But my mom is from a big Irish family.
Oh, wow.
Like Irish and English. And so I guess, you know, when they were thinking about what to name me, obviously my grandpa wanted it to be Mario. And my mom was like, well, you know, we can do that, but we're going to call him Joey. And my dad was like, all right, sounds good. And so I always just kind of grew up going by Joey. But when he passed March of the pandemic, I wanted to be sure my senior year that over the PA system, they announced me every at bat as Mario, kind of as like a tribute to him, because he That's really awesome. Loved watching me play. And he was just such a big baseball fan. And so that was really cool with Duke to kind of hear that and, you know, just kind of tell people how proud I was to be named after him. It was really cool.
That's phenomenal. And what I've seen as a common theme, no matter where players come from that we talk to in the, you know, Astros farm system, is the support network that you guys have, whether it's close immediate family, whether it's relatives, whether it's coaches. It seems like the Astros hit the nail on the head every time because they pick players like yourself that have these backgrounds, that have these upbringings, that really are the force and the weight behind a lot of y'all's success. A lot of people will credit, you know, mom or dad or coaches, but to have someone like your grandfather and to be honored like that and to honor him like that is definitely, definitely really special. I'm pretty sure every time you get up to bat, he's sitting there watching and, you know, smiling, grinning ear to ear, watching you play. And I want to talk a little bit about Asheville, because you came into Asheville. Fayetteville. You came in, and the season before, you only had, you know, because I guess it was a shortened season. You were only in 19 games. It was, you know, kind of new. Gosh, your average went from 116 to 293. Now, I think the 116, I think when you're first getting used to things, there's probably a little bit of shell shock, and you can talk about that. But this year, you've already got 36 hits. You have 123 at bats. You've got 4 home runs, 6 doubles, 14 RBIs. You got 9 stolen bases. Your on base percentage 364, OPS 803. Now, knowing that it was new and knowing that it was your first season, what is the difference last year to this year? Are you just more comfortable, more in your element? Did you make adjustments early, or is that just part of the growing process?
Yeah, so unfortunately, last year I got to play my first two games, and then I tested positive for COVID. So I was out probably 4 weeks and then kind of came back to it. So I didn't get to play a ton. But it was really brutal when I got back to it. You know, I just never really as a player and on the field like struggled like that. And at the time I thought, you know, the world was ending after my first 19 pro games. But kind of going into the off season, you know, I knew I wanted to make some adjustments. We went right to instructional league from Fayetteville. So I kind of got to dive head first into, you know, talking with the organization about the things we wanted to fix and the things we wanted to get better at. And honestly, like now looking back on it, I'm kind of, you know, thankful a little bit that, you know, my first taste of pro ball, you know, didn't really go great because it forces you, I think, to kind of change your perspective, kind of change, you know, your mindset on things. And honestly really pushed me this offseason to work really hard. I think when I got drafted in July, I was 184 pounds. When I left instructs, I think I was probably around 190-ish, and then came into camp at, you know, around 215. So put on, you know, some good weight and made some pretty significant changes to my swing based off of, you know, the feedback we had gotten from 19 games. So, yeah, it feels good to, you know, kind of be able to put up some numbers now, but I think the way I've kind of gone about it is not really thinking so much about, you know, the stats and the numbers like that, just kind of knowing what my process is day to day, you know, what kind of perspective and what mindsets can let me be my most consistent and kind of even keel self out on the field.
That sounds like, I mean, adversity in a lot of people's lives and in most cases is what really drives people to strive to be better. Because I always, you know, I'm a coach of young athletes myself, and I always tell them, you know, life is literally 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And I just saw randomly pop up on some reels, like I guess rabbit hole that I went on in Instagram, and it had the scene where Rocky's talking to his son's grown up, and he's like, it's not whether you're going to get hit, it's what you do when you get hit. Like, life's going to hit you hard, and are you going to get up, and are you going to keep fighting? And that's what it's about. And sometimes it's those rough patches. Like, if you look at Nolan Ryan's story, when he first came up to the pros, he had like a 26 ERA. He got sent back down. Like, and there were times in his career, and I haven't seen it. I'm going to go watch it on the 24th here in town, the Facing Nolan documentary. But apparently in the preview, it says something about there was points where this guy thought he was going to quit. And this is one of the most legendary players of all time. So for you to fight through that is amazing. And it sounds like you got everything in line. You got everything together. I want to talk to everybody about Athletic Greens. And after that, I want to ask you about getting drafted. I want to ask you what it was like and what it felt like to be drafted by the Houston Astros. But here's the deal. Athletic Greens is AG1 is a partner with us and our network. Why? Because it solves a lot of issues that you may have health-wise. If you want better gut health, if you want an optimized immune system, AG1 Athletic Greens is it. If you've hated taking pills and vitamins and supplements, this actually tastes great. Instead of, like, literally, it's green. And when I saw it, I had my doubts, but I took it. And let me tell you, it tastes amazing. I love this stuff. It's easy. You take it in the morning. You're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and more. And when you start from the day to when you keep going, you feel much better. You feel rejuvenated. I love it. And the maker of Athletic Greens did this because he was tired of literally his $100 a day habit of vitamins and supplements. He figured out a way to put all those vitamins into one drink with water. Boom, you slam that, you're good for the day. It gives you energy. It has a 5-star rating. They have all these climate neutral certified company certifications. They have organizations that they help feed, like No Kid Hungry here in the U.S. They donated over 1.2 million meals to kids back in 2020. So let's do this. Let's make it easy for you. Athletic Greens is going to give you a year free, a year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/MLB network. I have those 5 travel packs. I plan on going to a Rangers Astros series in Arlington, and I'm going to take those travel packs with me. AG1, athleticgreens.com/MLB network. Now, with that being said, Joey, let's talk about when you were drafted in the 7th round. Were you expecting the Astros to take you, or were you expecting to go higher or low? Like, where were your expectations come draft day?
So I tried to go into it with no expectations. The mindset I told myself was, I think I did the best I could at Duke in my last year. I think I put my best foot forward. And I told myself wherever you end up and for whatever amount of money it is, that's not the goal. My goal, obviously, getting drafted is a really cool day, really enjoyable kind of milestone or, experience to have. But, I want to play in the big leagues and I want to win games in the big leagues and, do more than just get drafted. But naturally, I'm also human. So as I'm sitting there on the couch with my parents and stuff, you're watching these names pop up of guys, guys you play with, and just like a natural angst kind of, enters you. But I mean, I wouldn't say I was surprised at where I went. I had a kind of an idea that, it was going to happen on that day, somewhere between rounds 3 to 10. I'd talked with the Astros area scout kind of leading up to it, and they did kind of a deeper, further check into me and asked me some more questions and stuff, a week or so before the draft. But as far as that day, I didn't hear a ton from them, and then boom, agent calls me, hey, Astros. And I was like, all right. And got really excited, waited for the pick to come up, and I popped up on the screen and got a call from Houston, and a minute later, and me and my parents were jumping around. It was really cool.
That is awesome. Now, did you have anybody else there with you? Friends, maybe from high school, friends from college? Anybody else there? Was it just you and your immediate family?
It was me, my immediate family, my girlfriend at the time, and then I met up with my buddies immediately afterwards.
Oh heck yeah, man! You gotta celebrate that. I mean, I love hearing that. That is something that, and I guess my jealousy for that moment is not like ultra envious, but it's like, wow, like that would be a really cool feeling. I can imagine. I don't know if you saw Adley Rutschman just got called up. One of the most talked about prospects. I mean, this kid's body type. He's huge, right? He's this huge catcher, supposed to have an amazing career. I mean, the guy's got the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he seems to have his head on right. But when he walked out in Camden Yards, he shook the umpire's hand and he got a standing ovation. He turns around, and just the look on his face, I was like, he looks like a 13-year-old kid stepping onto a major league field. Like, that is what we love about baseball. It brings you back to those days. Joey, tonight, our team, we unfortunately lost in the first round of our, city league tournament, but we were down 10-2. We were down, and there was no reason why we should have come back. We had scored 4 quick runs. It was 10-6. And then we go into the next inning. Then the umpire goes, that's time. Time has expired. And we're like, no, we still got 5 minutes. And the umpire's like, no, y'all got an hour and 40. We're like, no, it's an hour and 45. He let us keep playing. We scored 2 more runs. They bring in their closer, who they were saving for the next game, to pitch the entire next game. This kid, Ronnie Scarborough, the kid throws lasers. And God, boom.
It's probably horrifying.
The first 2 hitters get up and they hit him. The first two hitters get up. Dude, we get to 10-8. We've got a guy on third. We got this kid Braden up. He's like 6'1", eighth grader. This tall kid. He had just made the Mickey Mantle team at his local high school. He gets up and he fouls off the first two or three pitches. I'm like, he's going to take this kid deep. Loses the battle, strikes out. We lose on a trying to steal home. We tried to catch them sleeping. And this kid, Aaron, who's probably one of the smallest baseball players but plays with the biggest heart, was just like, oh, he couldn't believe it. He's like, oh, we lost the game. But it was so great seeing these kids who were down in a game where they should have never scored that many runs at the end. Because after the 9-run first inning, they only scored one run after that. It was just error. And, you know, just when the wheels fall off, they fall off. But the reason why I talk about that is because I see that a lot of times in minor leaguers. I see that a lot of times when I go to these games. Do you still feel like a kid out there playing? Like, do you still get that joy when you go out there on the ball field night in and night out?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, the crazy part is I think I've learned and I think I've grown so much since I was in Fayetteville last summer and played 19 games. And you show up to spring training and there's guys that have done this for like 15 years. And so to one, be able to go out every night and understand that, you know, it's a privilege and something to be grateful for to get to play professional baseball in itself, let alone for an organization like the Astros. But also just kind of understand, I may think I know how this is going to go and I may think I know, you know, got this all figured out, and you really don't. And so it's exciting, you know, for me to see the progress I've made and, you know, 8 or 9 months. And then also to know that if this is really what I want, which it is, the progress I can make in the next 10 years, you know, just keep working and keep learning from, you know, the guys older than me. And so it's really cool. I think for me, speaking about the draft, it was a moment that kind of throughout my career, I can probably think of a count them on my hand, the moments that kind of felt really surreal for me, where you're kind of like, wow, like this kind of happened for me. That's definitely one. So it's cool. I mean, thinking about when I played Little League, I mean, I just loved playing, and little did I know I would get to, you know, do this 10 some odd years later. So it's cool.
No, yeah, that is quite a story. And a lot of times I think sometimes I see so many young athletes that get so much thrown onto them, so much high expectations, almost like they peak too soon athletically and they don't have to go through that struggle because they're like the top kid. And it seems like those kids that are always talked about when you're younger, they kind of fade away a little bit. And the ones that have to go through a little bit of adversity and really being surrounded by good people, I think is a key. Now, this is what I want to do. I want to kind of wrap this show up. I want you to tell me one person in the Astros organization that you feel like has made the biggest impact on you. And it doesn't discredit anybody else. But when I say give me one name, just one person, and then give me one or two people from growing up who you really attribute to helping you be successful on the baseball diamond.
I would say Chad Stevens. In the organization, he's an Astro right now, but we were in Fayetteville together last summer, and he's probably, you know, he's one of my best friends now that I have, let alone just in the organization. But he struggled with me last summer too, and that was kind of both like our first kind of test of like, wow, we kind of got thrown into the fire a little bit, and it's not really going our way. And we would, after games, kind of come back to our apartment, and we had a deck. We were on the second floor, we would just kind of sit out there and like kind of talk and, you know, chop it up. And I think I, one, learned a lot from him just as he kind of struggled, like where his mind was at through things and how he was working through stuff. And I think he learned from me, but just kind of to go through that with somebody who you can really relate to and who, you know, wants it as bad as you do and has the work ethic and has a good head on their shoulders. You know, it was cool. And so we obviously kind of took that into the off season and kind of pushing each other. And he had an unbelievable spring training, and he, you know, is hot right now too for the tourists. So it's awesome to see him, somebody who, you know, I'm really proud of, and I know he's proud of me for killing it down here too. So it's cool. I'd say Chad for sure.
Awesome. And so, you know, one or two people growing up who you couldn't go without saying thank you.
I think my mom and dad, I know this is kind of a layup one, but they're just so, I mean, there was just never a time growing up that I didn't have, you know, the equipment I needed, the nicest, you know, baseball stuff I could ever have asked for. You know, my dad and I drove up and down the East Coast when I was like 12 playing in these tournaments with, you know, it was times that were definitely difficult for them up and down through my career, just knowing how much, you know, I wanted to succeed. And, you know, they know, I think for all the minor leaguers, you know, it's easy to see on the surface and, you know, you look at their name, look at their stats and stuff, but everybody has like a support system. For me, it's my family, a bunch of my friends, but there's so much more behind the scenes that these people have watched each of these players and prospects go through, and whether it's positive or negative. And so to be there on draft day with my parents, who have seen everything from me waking up in the morning on days I didn't feel great to like after the game, talking with them through college, through high school, and even now, I just really am grateful for them, and they've made everything. They've set me up in ways more than I could thank them. So definitely my parents.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for sharing the insight from the inspiration that your late grandfather, you know, that inspiration he gave you. Thanks for sharing the story about Dusty Baker. We love to hear stories like that. We love to hear when players share with us things that we wouldn't normally hear, you know, outside of kind of being a fly on the wall. But Joey, we wish you all the best here at Locked On Astros, and we hope that you're able to come on soon, maybe later on in the season, to see how you're progressing, even if you move up to Asheville, different places. Just to close out, one final question. Are your goals this season just to do well with where you're at and not worry about where that takes you? Or do you like you want to get to Asheville as soon as you can? What is your mindset and focus as we close out the show?
You know, obviously, you know, you want to progress, you want to get promoted up through the organization, through the ranks. But I think the best way to do that is to try and be as present as you can. And so for me, in terms of goals, and don't make a ton of, you know, statistical goals or, hey, I want to get to this affiliate by the time the season's over. Just because I feel like if I go out there every day, keep working hard and, you know, keep learning and just kind of keep my mindset, my process, that all that stuff will kind of happen and play itself out. So.
Man, excellent. Like you must have gone to interview school 101. Duke must have prepared you well. But you know, Joey, thanks again. Former Duke Blue Devil, seventh round draft pick 2021, rising star, Joey Luperfido, aspiring blankety blank center fielder. This guy, Dusty Baker himself, validated his skills. So for myself, Eric Heisman couldn't be here. I know next time we get you on, we'll definitely have all three of us on, and we'll have a party. But, you know, let the guys know out there in Fayetteville that we would love their support. We'd love them to log into, you know, Locked On Astros, to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us. We'll try to get more and more players on. Thank you so much. God bless you. Good luck this year. Continued health, continued success. And for myself and all of Locked On Astros Nation, y'all have a good one. And as always, go Stros.